Welcome
to the podcast experiment.
Welcome to the podcast experiment. I'm Dave.
And I'm Vic.
And here we go.
Can you really?
I believe I can. Yeah, I can hear myself here.
I think it. How does this sound?
I heard a little of the fizz. How about this? Now we're just doing sound effects.
How come we didn't have this when we were younger? Because we would have never left the house. Give me one. Here we go.
We're eating Pringles. I'd love to say that they're a proud sponsor.
If I get two, it'd be even better.
Wait. Oh yeah, two together. Two Pringles. This is the sound.
That is digital stereo coming at you, folks. Love it. That's THX surround sound. The audience is listening.
to me eating Pringles. Please, Pringles.
That's our Star Wars sponsor reference for the day. Ben Affleck.
But wait, so you just said something that was funny.
I did. I say so many funny things.
You do. You're funny. But no. But you said your notes. Go. What did you say?
No, just this is the amount of preparation I do for the show. I just wrote on a yellow post-it note. I said, "Not as psycho, Batman's eyes." That's all I had to contribute to the Batman discussion. They just had it in the scene. I know it was a dream sequence, but he's got the black eyes, and Superman rips the mask off, and all of a sudden his eyes don't have the black around them anymore. I guess. We've come to just accept it. Like I said, there's been about, eight Batman movies now. But I don't know, just try it one time.
Not having the makeup.
It wasn't very good, obviously, the Green Lantern movie. But I think the Green Lantern, he had, you didn't see his eyes. Yeah. Or even when you watch the cartoons, they don't have, the eyes light up. They don't have pupils. It goes back as old as, I believe the first is a little bit of a comic book trivia. Are we rolling?
Yes, we're rolling, and welcome to the podcast experiment. I'm Dave.
And I'm Vic.
And here we go.
A little bit of comic book trivia. The Phantom was, I believe, the first comic book character to have the non-pupils. When he put his mask on, he just has the white eyes that we see now in pretty much every comic book, whether it's X-Men or Wolverine puts the mask on, he doesn't have eyes. And he was also, I think, the first spandex wearing
the Phantom?
Comic book character. I think so. Because he predates Superman by a year or something, maybe.
Okay. Well, the whole idea was that Superman's wearing a strongman suit.
Yeah, that's what they said. I mean, my dad used to like
that. That's what
they
said, but yeah.
My dad loved the Phantom.
Okay.
And now that I think about it.
Billy Zane.
I think he might have had the black eyeliner too when he, on his eyes.
Definitely.
And he also has naturally black eyeliner. Billy Zane. Even when you see Billy Zane, he's got that thing going on where he's got black around his eyes. Yeah.
Well, it's because his eyelashes are super curly. I think it's the reason why he's a movie star, because he's got dreamy eyes.
Zane means beautiful in Arabic.
There you go.
Certain actors have that, that guy that was on Lost. And he's actually the mayor in the Batman movies with Christian Bale.
Yes.
Cuban actor.
Who
I can't
was on
his
Lost?
Name.
Somebody another. Wait, should we?
I'll remember his
always
name.
Get references, call up stuff. On the internet. Where's your phone? Get your phone ready.
I want to. I know it's not Dominic something, but something with a C. Something with a C. Good enough. You can look up on IMDb. They canceled the IMDb message boards. Have you heard about that?
No, why?
I used to go on there all the time.
Okay, and do what?
And just read, if I was watching an episode of a TV show arguing. When Batman vs. Superman would come out, I'd go on there and just read what people have to say, if they agree with me, if the movie stinks, whatever. But I guess there was too many trolls.
Okay.
And I guess too many people saying stupid things on there. So
offensive things.
And IMDb, there's no more message discussion boards on there anymore. Think of the... Nestor Carbonell.
There you go.
See, like, it takes, I said it he takes me 30 seconds. Up, folks. It takes me 30 seconds for it to kick into my head.
So one of the reasons why I wanted to do a podcast was, and this is the podcast experiment. Okay. So we're just trying to figure this out. But one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this.
Some experiments don't work out. There's plenty of failed experiments.
This may be a failed experiment. But one of the things I wanted, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this with Vic is because we'd get together, we'd talk about a lot of fun stuff. And Vic was like this wealth of knowledge, and it was always just at the tip of his tongue right away. Now Vic is telling me it's taking him time to recall facts.
Well, we can edit.
Yeah, but come on, man.
You edit that out, and all of a sudden, like, what was that guy's name? Nestor Carbonell.
But come on. You know, if I got to Google it, what good are you?
I didn't Google it.
I know you didn't.
I'm like Google with a slow connection. It just takes you. You're waiting for the little bar to go. It's like Nestor Carbonell. There it comes.
Nah, come on, Vic. I love you. That's why. This is great. All right.
It sucks getting old.
So this could technically be a part two
of our Batman versus Superman slash.
Well, we were Batman talking about Batman films. In the last episode, and we were playing like the state of Batman, right? And we were playing like Batman versus Superman because Ben Affleck is at present he's the latest on screen
Batman,
yeah. And he's about to launch into going into the Batman. He's basically, you know, done two Batman movies, or he's done Batman twice. This summer is it, or it's going to be like this November? They're going to have the Justice League movie. When does that come out? This summer or is it next year?
I don't even
Justice
know.
Justice League. I don't know. Look it
Google
up.
It.
The point is,
because I know the Wonder Woman
sure
movie comes out this
2017.
Year.
I think it's this year.
I haven't seen any trailers for it or anything. So.
No. I think it's this year. But the point though is that he's already played Batman twice, and the idea is like he's gonna gear up to play the new Batman. But now he's
2017.
Not direct it. Right now he's not going to direct it, and there was rumors that he's also not going to. He doesn't want to be Batman, and that was one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about this. And we talked
we're
about
topical.
Yeah, we talked about we very briefly went through like all of the Batman actors. We didn't really get into Christian Bale, but we can do that now. But you know, like the state of Batman and stuff like that. A lot of on-screen Batman, but there's also a lot to say about Batman versus Superman. A lot to say. All right, so I love those two characters. And they're so much fun. You know.
Everybody loves me. If you don't, like, not into comic books,
but
everybody's
knows
like, oh, yeah,
who
Batman.
They are.
Batman's cool, you know.
Right, or I love Superman. Everybody knows who they are. And we were watching the behind the scenes, and it was funny because we were letting it play, and everyone was saying like, oh, you know, Batman is so this, and they're synonymous with superheroes. And I just kept saying like, to punctuate every line they said, it's like, yeah, and we're going to mess this up, you know, because
we thought we'd make a movie and just mess it up
as badly as possible. Basically kind of what happened, because the way that they make Superman act in Batman versus Superman is so out of character. And the way they make Batman,
I just didn't understand,
is so out of character. And so it's kind of like, if you're going to take a character and set them so far off, you do that to dial them back to the right way. But they don't even do that in this movie.
I like to say a lot about certain, if I'm having a discussion, sometimes I'll say, if you were an alien coming from another planet and you had no foreknowledge, like I said that last time about Lex Luthor, everybody grows up knowing Lex Luthor's evil and stuff. So, and you know, we all know Batman versus Superman, but let's say you never heard of these characters and you're watching the movie, you'd be like, oh, who are these two jerks? Like, why do people like these characters? Like, Superman's like whiny and he doesn't want his powers, and then Batman's like a psychotic, and you know, it's like, I don't want to say they've stripped them of everything that we love, but it's kind of like, this is so gloomy and dismal and Superman. And it's not even, you know, a lot of discussion was that Man of Steel wasn't very good also. We could probably have a podcast on that. But people like Batman more than Superman, so that's why it's Batman versus Superman. Like,
right, his name is
first. His name is first. And it's telling, I read this, I didn't count, I don't know if it's true, but supposedly in Captain America Civil War, which is a very good movie.
Yeah,
if you remember, they kind of shoehorn Spider-Man in there, sure. If you remember.
No, I don't remember.
But supposedly...
Wait a minute, Spider-Man was in Captain America Civil War? Yes, I remember, Vic.
I read, believe it or not, that Spider-Man had more lines of dialogue than Superman has in Batman vs. Superman. And I have no reason to doubt it. Like I said, I didn't count both movies, but like that's kind of telling because Spider-Man's barely in... Like, he's not right. Really in the movie that much.
And yet.
But it shows you how little Superman is in Batman vs. Superman, how much he's just, like, sad and depressed. Like, even the scene where he comes in and the courthouse blows up. I'm trying to think if he even, like, speaks in that scene or if he just walks in slow motion. He lands in front of the courthouse.
He just kind of nods and things happen.
Yeah, and the courthouse blows up. He's standing there with the flames around him. Like, he doesn't talk. It's like, come on, it's a Batman vs. Superman movie. I think they just wanted to, like. Warner Brothers just, I guess, make another Batman movie. He's the cash cow.
I think that Zack Snyder said that because he was jonesing to do Batman for so long. Mm-hmm. And the studio said, great, because then that's like what you said. Because the studio knows Batman makes the money.
Yeah.
It's like you got Warner Brothers is blessed to have Harry Potter and Batman and... Both of those franchises make them just tons and tons of money, and God bless them. That's great. But the thing is, they got to make these movies good.
Yeah, well, this is another 2-3-part podcast of the Marvel movies and the DC movies and why the Marvel movies work and everything. And obviously, DC was going for... I think the plan was they would make a Superman movie and maybe another Batman movie and a Wonder Woman movie, and then they put them all together the way they did Thor, Captain America, and Iron
Man.
The Man of Steel didn't work out very well, and they were just like, forget that plan, just quickly do Batman vs. Superman. And like Batman vs. Superman isn't Man of Steel Part 2.
No.
It's, I don't even know if they're ever going to make another Man of Steel. I would guess so. But
So we're told that they're going to.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, wait, it didn't work out. Well, like, quick. Screw it. Let's throw Batman into the mix.
Well, but
make some money.
So you're getting to one of the things.
I'm gonna have some tea,
please. You're getting to one of the things that I think is a big problem with Batman versus Superman. Okay, and that is, you know, this movie is made for clearly baseline for people who know and love these two characters, okay? If I were to say, hey, what's Batman versus Superman about? It's in the title.
And it's
right?
Something every kid talks about on the playground. Sure, I remember playing superheroes when I was in like second grade at recess. And, you know.
I'm Batman.
Who would win in a fight?
Right. Oh, Batman could do it because he has he's smarter. He has a utility belt. Oh, a utility belt? That doesn't matter. I can do this.
We all know Superman would win in like 2 seconds because he's got super speed and stuff.
But
you could just take Superman up to the moon in like 2 seconds
Superman?
And suffocate.
You
mean Superman? I mean, Superman could take Batman up to the moon.
Right. And so, but like you said, that fight has been talked about since, you know, little boys, little girls, yeah. Little kids have been talking about superheroes. But if you have a movie called Batman versus Superman, what's this movie? Well, if you were making this movie, what would this movie be? Okay, I wouldn't have ever made that movie. I would never make a movie called that. But if it's a movie called Batman versus Superman, what's going to happen in the movie?
Well, they got to fight.
Sure.
A trick question.
Sure. No, yes. But they have to
fight for 7 minutes.
But you see, there you go.
An hour and 45 minutes into the movie.
And then it's a 2 hour and plus movie. But the thing is this, if you're going to have them fight, do you need anything else? Because I would argue that, you know, maybe to make certain things come around, maybe to do other things. Sure. I get it. But that's one of the biggest problems with this movie. I can get that what you want to do is create a scenario where they're both being manipulated by another force. I get that as an idea.
Because you don't want to make one of them like evil.
Actually evil.
And wanting to kill the other one or
right,
something.
Right, right. So you're going to push them together. But you're also going to get to a point where they're going to recognize they're on the same side. You have to. And then kind of fight on the same side. Okay. But the problem with the movie is, like you just said, with having like, oh, the last movie didn't work out. Let's get everybody together. Suddenly you have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Lex Luthor, Doomsday, and then flashes of, or literally the Flash, Aquaman. It became very quickly like this hodgepodge of a movie.
Yeah, it didn't grow organically the way you had a Thor movie and an sure. Iron Man movie. It's just like, and throw them all together. It went backwards.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to have the Flash solo and the Wonder Woman solo. But
exactly. And probably the biggest problem is that if you actually think about it, if you have a Batman and a Superman movie, you have Batman, Superman, but then you have Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent. So that's four characters, essentially, or at least four on-screen personas that you have to write. Then you have Lois Lane. That's five. Then you have Lex Luthor. That's six. It's already six characters that you're kind of juggling. And yes, like I said, you could argue that, you know, four of these six are, you know, two of them are the same guy in each. But the point is, you have to give these people screen time. Then you have
Perry White.
Then you have
Martha Kent.
Yeah, and then keep going. And then you have Alfred the Butler, right?
Wonder Woman, do we say her?
That now we're adding Wonder Woman. You're suddenly beginning to get things. And these are all
Diana
important.
Prince.
Right, but these are all, right, Wonder Woman and Diana. You're beginning, these are all important characters, right? By not devoting time to these characters, right? You're not only are you minimizing,
shortchanging them.
You're shortchanging us. You're shortchanging the characters. You're not being like, less is more, brief, I'm going to be really cool, get in and get out. No, what you're doing is you're less is less in this case. And there's no one being serviced properly. There's no true backbone. And so you had just said something off mic that I want you to say again. In another,
all my best stuff off mic.
You do, which is why we're doing this. So I'm trying to get him to say things on mic. But
there's actually a guy here named Mike, and he's sitting on the couch, and I just like I usually, say things. I talk to him off.
Right, well, but right now he's sitting on mic, and he's not saying anything. Anyway, no.
What did I say? Remind me.
You said in another podcast, you'd mentioned we were talking about scenes, and in the last podcast we were talking about
yes,
scenes versus moments. But you'd said
there's a famous saying that
Tarantino. You were mentioning
Tarantino got it from
Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino got it from Howard Hawks, who said that when you're making a movie, it's comprised of scenes. If you could put like three or four good scenes in a movie, you'll have a good movie. And if you could put like five or six or seven,
you have a great movie.
Yeah, and Tarantino exemplifies that, because when you watch a Tarantino movie, it's just like scene. Like you watch like Pulp Fiction, it's nothing but like a scene and then another great scene and another great scene.
Just a minute ago, we were watching Batman versus Superman with the sound off, and you had said what?
This is just like a collection of bad scenes. Like this is bad dream sequence that doesn't need to be in the movie. The bad Batmobile chase that doesn't need to be in the movie. Which is, again, I think what you were just saying, they probably just figured like, everybody knows Batman. Everybody knows Superman, Lois Lane. We don't need to like set them up or give them a lot of screen time, because you know how Lois Lane's going to act and all this stuff.
But
we'll put in a Batmobile scene, and we'll put in a scene with this and a scene with that. You know, it's just like...
But they were fundamentally serviced wrong. They were put in there wrong for the wrong reason. And they were kind of like, yeah, now go play. Go make your magic. But if it wasn't constructed right, it was just a mess. It was a mess on many, many levels.
It's a mess. It's a hodgepodge.
It's a hodgepodge. So you mentioned the Batmobile.
It's paused on a...
Well,
the screen is paused on Ben Affleck's like dour face, and that's like the whole movie. Like that's how I feel watching the movie. It's just like a frown. He's just like weary. And just like things aren't turning out the way he thought they were going to turn out. It's just like, ah.
That's basically how we feel about the movie.
Yeah.
That's really
me watching the movie. I wish you could see his face now.
So what's really funny about this movie, Batman versus Superman, is I feel like I could say, I feel like we could talk about Batman versus Superman endlessly almost. I mean, definitely.
We should let it play a little bit. We'll get some more ideas.
But I almost want to go back, right? So between recordings and stuff, we were letting some stuff roll and, oops.
Oh, sound.
Sound. Yeah, and so there's like a, oh, but I want to go back even further. The white Portuguese, right? There's a dream sequence, right?
Yeah, for some
reason.
Oh,
well, you know what? I want to say
something
about
like,
this.
Is that the second or third dream sequence that Batman
has
in the movie?
Every single moment. I
hate dream sequences in movies as a rule. Usually, well, I don't like them.
I don't mind them. But it is a device.
Yeah.
And lots of overused. Times, it's, well, it could be overused, but also it's kind of abusive because when the dream sequence begins to take
it's
a
manipulative
flight.
Too.
Yeah, it's that's how it's abusive.
But I thought I was watching something
it's a
important
flight of
but
fancy,
it's just yeah.
Right. And just when they begin to get a little juicy, you pull the rug out from under the viewer by saying, "Oh, it's a dream sequence," but also it's kind of like a take back, but in a very undermining way because they were just about to kind of reveal meat.
You got to see what you want,
something.
But it wasn't really what you want. Like,
and
you
then
know,
they just take it away. They undo it. They hit the undo button. Psych,
and again,
just kidding.
Specifically with this movie, like the dream sequence that Batman has, where it's like an apocalyptic future.
Oh no! Every actual moment is a lot of them. He has a lot of bad dreams. If you think about it, the movie opens.
But I'm saying, that's something that, like, in the trailer looks cool.
Yep. They
or,
show
like,
it in the
people
trailer.
Who like this movie, maybe, they think, like, that's such a cool scene. But it really, it's a dream sequence.
It
doesn't have anything
sequence.
To
so
do.
Technically,
like,
it doesn't actually.
And you don't
matter.
Know that when you're watching the trailer.
No,
but you're
well,
excited. Like, I can't wait for that scene to come up. And then it's like, yeah. It was just a dream. So, like, a dream sequence, in theory, you could just, like, eliminate it from the movie. It doesn't make any difference.
Absolutely. It's entirely inconsequential. So,
it's supposed
wait,
to
so
show
let's
you
talk
that,
about
like,
that.
That's another reason he hates Superman. Because in the dream, Superman's mean to him.
Well, wait a minute, right? Oh, Superman's mean to
but
me.
But it's just a dream, Batman.
So is he really mean? Right. You're right. Well,
I can bang Kate Beckinsale in a dream. It doesn't mean, like, if I see her on the street, she's going to bang me. You know what I'm saying?
Or that happened. Right.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen. But the thing is this. Almost every other kind of entry into the Batman character begins with a dream. Okay. And so the first time we see on screen in this movie, Batman versus Superman, you see the parents, that whole sequence. And then you see young Bruce Wayne going to his parents' funeral, him running away, him falling into the well, the bats. But then he takes off. He begins to literally levitate, and you think, wait a minute, what? And then he says, in the dream, blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay, that's a dream. The very next scene
but
is
to interject,
a real moment. Go ahead.
Does that mean he never did fall into the cave with the bats? Or was that
it
all a dream?
He's muddling his memory. Well,
because I like
on.
To think he really did fall.
Oh,
in.
He really
he must
did.
Have.
Well, he did. In Christopher Nolan's Batman, in Batman Begins, he does.
He must have had some connection to a bat at some. Well, although, sure. So I think in one of the early comics, he's just like thinking what could be scary and intimidating, like a bat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like maybe sees it out the window or something.
Yeah,
and he's like,
yeah.
I want to strike fear into the criminals.
And that's
doesn't mean he fell into a cave and saw the bat.
Right. Well, and so what they've done with the kind of the going back and in the comic books, right, what they did was they went back and they kind of revised and
retconning
and just kind of like expanding the ideas. They began to think it was Miller, Frank Miller with Batman Year One, where they tied in to an actual cave.
Yeah. Below. I read that recently.
Yeah, and it's very good. The book, the comic is great. And so, you know, the idea was he actually had a big cave of bats underneath Wayne Manor. they began to kind of explore that as an idea. And then they began to say like, oh, he found it when he was a kid, blah, blah, blah. But then in Batman Year One, which is pretty exciting, the idea was that he was trying to find a way to become a vigilante and really do some good, but no one, it wasn't working. And as he was doing it and he was really kind of struggling, he basically was going to give up. If you remember, there's a really great moment where he was going to give up and he was going to bleed out. And he even sat, down in Batman Year One, he's sitting down. And I thought it was a very powerful moment in the book and the comic. And he's holding a bell. There's a bell in the chair, in the arm of the chair, right by his hand. And he's kind of thinking, and he's kind of thinking to his father, and he's saying, and looking at a bust of his father, and he's saying, you know, he has a gash in him and he's bleeding. And he says, if I ring this bell, Alfred will come and stitch me up and I'll live. But I don't know if I want to. He's kind of saying,
yeah,
and I'm paraphrasing, but you know, he's kind of saying like, I'm trying to do good and I'm hitting a wall. It's not working. No one is afraid of me. No, these criminals won't, you know, I'm just a man walking around trying to do stuff. It's not working. And just, he kind of says, he's looking at this bust of his dad and he says, tell me, father, what should I do? And just then a bat comes in crashing in through the window and it scares him. Like yeah. He gets a flash of fear. But then it lands on the bust of his father and just stares at him. And he smiles and says, this is it. And so that scene ends with him reaching for the bell. And
it was not a dream.
And it wasn't a dream, but it was great. And so that was like, so then Christopher Nolan ran with that and a couple other things. And what was very cool in Batman Begins was the notion of it opens with young Bruce Wayne running and playing and hiding and falling into the well. And the thing that scares him are these bats. And then remembering that, he wakes up and he's a grown man, or he's grown and he's kind of, you know, blah, blah, blah. He meets the Jedi Master.
Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson, who trained Batman. Which is actually kind of cool if you think about it, right? Like, if you think about Batman Begins, and this is a little side note, but if you think about Batman Begins, Batman was trained by a ninja Jedi. That's why Batman is such a badass. Come on.
It's true. That wasn't a dream?
It was all a dream. That's what Biggie said.
He was trained by the guy, Brian Mills from Taken. He's pretty badass.
Yeah.
He has a particular set of skills.
That sounds kind of like Wolverine. But you don't mess with Liam Neeson. I mean, you just ask Key and Peele. But anyway, but the idea, and that was kind of really expanded upon in Batman Begins, was the notion of like, okay, the movie was about fear also and kind of conquering fear and how this young Bruce Wayne, who was angry because of his parents' death and tried to do something about it. And actually what was quite brilliant, a lot of people kind of diss Batman Begins, but one of the things I thought was quite brilliant and actually new to the Batman canon was the idea that one thing that they added that was never in the canon before was that Bruce Wayne was going to do the very human thing and try to commit revenge and kill Joe Chill, the person who killed his parents, but just as he was about to do it, someone kind of someone basically beat him to it and killed, like, Joe Chill gets released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's walking down the corridor, Bruce Wayne, you know, has a gun tucked in his pocket, but someone kind of gets in the way, kills the guy before he can kill him. And so he literally has revenge taken away from him. So now not only is he angry and he wants to do something, but now he can't even do something. And so what do you do with that? And
that was actually an outlet.
Right. Well, and so that was actually one ingredient to the Batman mythos, the Batman origin, that hadn't really been properly explored. And I thought that was a really good human addition to it. So he goes and trains and becomes Batman, blah, blah. But the idea is that, well, he was afraid. What are you afraid of, Bruce? What are you afraid of? And he realizes, he remembers, he was terrified of bats. In fact, the reason why his parents were killed in that movie was because they went to the opera, if you remember, and there was like this bat thing, these people dancing around and doing this kind of weird bat acrobatics, and it was making him remember this time where he fell in a well and all these bats came around. It was freaking him out, and he asked his parents to leave. And so his dad, you know, kind of saw he was scared and said, all right, let's go. And they went out the back.
And of course, are they going out the back? Why are you taking a kid to see some opera play with bats dancing around?
But the point, though, right, was that that's why Bruce felt like it was his fault, blah, blah, blah. But he was also afraid of bats. And so what did he do? He learned to, you know, in Batman Begins, he learned to, one, overcome his fear. But then he remembered the thing that feared him were these bats. And so what he said was, I'm going to become this thing that makes me afraid. And I'm going to make everyone else afraid of it, too. Mm. And what was cool also about it was, by making people afraid, he didn't need to be a murderer or a brutal, you know.
Well, that's one of my notes. It says murderer with an exclamation mark. To bring us back to Batman vs. Superman. What you say, how he was robbed of his revenge. We know revenge is something that's like considered evil, like.
It's very
that's
evil.
Why it's not but Revenge it's also a of the dish Jedi.
It's a dish that's best served cold.
It's an ancient Klingon proverb.
Yeah.
But that's why it's not Revenge of the Jedi.
Yes, because Jedis
don't get revenge. But apparently in Batman vs. Superman, he just gleefully murders like dozens of henchmen, blowing them up with his Batmobile as they're screaming in the night.
Unbelievable.
It doesn't make any... Like, he would be wanted by every...
Yeah, he brands them.
Why, like, he'd be wanted by the police, he'd be arrested, go to jail.
I said that in the last podcast, and I'll say
that's what they don't get about Batman.
Exactly. I'll say it again. There's a line in this which I feel like is probably the worst thing and terribly out of character, and that is, he says, Alfred's saying, you know, he slaps down a newspaper, and Bruce Wayne looks at it and says, well, we've always been criminals, Alfred. No, we haven't. No. Batman is not a criminal. In fact, Batman would slap you in the face if you said you're a criminal. He's not a criminal. He might be an outlaw. In fact, he's an outlaw, and he would proudly say that. He would say he's a vigilante. But he's not a criminal because he doesn't like criminals. He doesn't like the criminal element. There's a great book by Mark Waid and Alex Ross called, I think it's Mark Waid, right? Called Kingdom Come. Did you read that comic?
Mm-hmm.
Great, great book. And there's this whole moment where Superman is pleading with Batman to kind of get back in the game and help. And he's saying, part of what Superman is saying is, he says, you know, one of the most important things about Batman is that he doesn't want, you know, Batman doesn't want anyone to die. So he's saying, like, kind of get back in the game and help because people are dying. Now, this movie completely contradicts that. He just kills bad people. Now, the other thing is this. If you're going to have in any movie, you should establish that bad guys are bad. And if bad guys get murdered or killed, you should establish that they are really bad, like that they should be killed. And then once it's done, it's kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, these guys are bad. I get it. So in a movie like John Wick, right, where John Wick is killing these people, first of all, you know that everyone is a baseline murderer, like is a bad guy. Because they kind of set it up. They even kind of set up that there's like this kind of underworld of assassins. And so when you have an underworld of assassins, they're all assassins. They're all killing people. And then next level is now they're trying to kill him. He has permission from us, the audience, to kill these guys. Well, we have not established proper that these are killers. So why is Batman killing them? But also, why is Batman killing at all? He should not be killing. like you said about the A-Team, you know, one of the things about the A-Team, that was a show back in the 80s. It was great. It was kind of campy and fun and whatever. But they would show these outlandish stunts where cars would flip over and all this. And they would always make sure to afterward cut to a shot of the people who were flipped over in the car kind of crawling out.
Shaking their head, coughing. Yeah, but they're alive.
The
car flipped over, but you see that they're alive.
There are moments in Batman versus Superman. There's a moment where a truck gets loaded up with clearly with a shipment of what's supposed to be kryptonite, I guess. And it's a big truck, and it has a couple of kind of sports car tail, you know,
running blocker,
whatever. Right? And Batman has a gun and he takes a tracker and he shoots it onto the truck, and you think, okay, he's going to track this truck. But then, he also begins to chase the truck with the Batmobile. This Batmobile.
Unnecessarily.
This Batmobile, the villains start to shoot at it. He takes a cable gun from the Batmobile and grabs it and flips over one car and then drags it, and this car is tumbling. Anybody who's in that car is obviously dead. He throws that car on top of
one car.
One car
explodes.
Another car, he literally just drives right through it, cuts it in half. The guy's in it. I mean, like, what's going on? I'm not like championing the criminals, but like, what could possibly be going on that like these people they're not living through this.
Now that I think about it, that's the
he's
scene
killing
where
these people.
Superman lands and he like, you know, he just stands there and the Batmobile bounces off Superman.
Well, so that's
like,
how the scene ends.
Yeah, he's like, stop, you know, the bat is dead, bury it or whatever. But now I'm thinking like,
why didn't Superman?
Yeah, Superman should have been like, you just murdered 8 people. I have to arrest you. You know, like, right. Not arrest him, but like take you in.
But not only that, well, that's even another.
And I know they're
problem.
Shooting at Batman, so maybe as a viewer, you're like, wow, that's cool. Or they're shooting at him.
Sure.
But still, he's just killing these people. He'd be wanted
out
by the
and
police.
Out killing. Yeah. Well, but. The level of danger is not like cool, exciting danger. It's like, now you know why Batman is a threat. He's like, even though he's killing criminals, he's eviscerating them in very, very bad ways.
Part of the reason he doesn't like Superman the way they set it up is that when he was fighting Zod and Man of Steel, he's just like destroying buildings and
just killing people.
Yeah, and like the collateral damage he causes. But Batman's just murdering,
just
or maybe because they're criminals. But
again, what gives permission? Why? It's not established. We don't know anything about these criminals. If we knew, like, oh, this is a group of of mercenaries that had done really bad things. Okay.
For all we know, they're just Luther Corp. Security.
Or,
a shipment
or
came
if
in
they're
at the docks.
Hired mercenaries.
I know we're reading into it a lot.
But
Batman shouldn't kill people. Again,
to.
Like I said in part one of our podcast, in the behind the scenes, they're talking about how Batman's like the opposite of Superman, how he's like beyond the law. He'll do whatever it takes to bring justice to people, but he won't do whatever it takes. Like, he could have killed the Joker. Like, I feel like if this Batman and Batman vs. Superman, the Ben Affleck one, like, came up against the Joker, he would, like, kill the Joker.
Yeah, well, I was going to get
He'd be like,
that.
I'm not letting you go anymore. Like, you've caused too much damage. And he would just, like, throw him off a bridge. But, like, Batman is known for not killing the Joker. Just
right.
And maybe
to
his detriment, he keeps arresting him. Yeah,
absolutely.
And the Joker gets out, and he's tortured by it because the Joker gets out, and
he
kills more people, and Batman just puts him away, and Batman's thinking, like, maybe I should just kill him. Cause...
So, but where is this
But he
Joker?
Can't.
Where
he doesn't
is
do that.
This? But where is this Joker in that world? But let me get to that in a second. All I was going to say was, you just said, well, maybe we're reading a lot into it. But first of all, guess what? We have to read a lot into it because there's nothing in the text. There's nothing in the movie, so we have to read into it. Because why is he doing this? We don't know. Because he's Batman? Because they're criminals? Why? It's not enough. So we have to. And that's one of the things that makes this a bad movie. And the only reason why I even care so much is because I care about these damn characters. Like, I actually really like Superman.
We've been waiting our whole lives.
Yeah.
To watch Batman fight
Superman.
To have
these two characters come together. I never really thought they should ever fight. But I get the idea, like, okay, we're going to have them meet in a fight. That makes sense because they have differences. You know, quite frankly, the best Batman versus Superman, the best Batman meeting was an animated one. It was just called World's Finest. Do you remember that?
No.
It was it was great. And it was this great moment where very similar in an idea where there's this kind of big piece of glowing jade that the Joker steals and gives to Lex Luthor. And the Joker goes to Metropolis with it and Batman goes to Metropolis. And when Superman sees Batman, he's like, you can't do this here. And Batman says, I found, you know, and Batman goes, you know, I found this piece of this and it's just a tiny piece of kryptonite. And he's basically saying, look, I'm trying to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't get in my way. And there's this great kind of exchange between the two of them. And it's one of my favorite scenes in comics, movies, comic book movies and kind of thing, where when they kind of first see each other, Superman kind of knocks him over very quickly. Like actually Superman comes up and puts his hand on Batman's shoulder. Cause Batman kind of roughs up a criminal. And Superman puts his hand on his shoulder and says, you can't do this. And Batman grabs Superman by the hand and flips him and throws him across the room. And while he's being thrown across the room, Superman kind of has this surprised look on his face, like, oh my God, this guy just threw me. And of course, Batman is kind of doing his thing. And Superman recovers very quickly and then like shoots over and just knocks him down. And Batman, you know, drops. So and Superman looks at him and then he uses his X-ray vision and looks through his mask. And he says, Bruce Wayne. And Batman says, you cheated. And then they kind of square off and they talk. And he says, well, why are you here? And blah, blah, blah. And Batman says, look. And he pulls out of his utility belt, he pulls out this tiny piece of kryptonite. And he says, the Joker has like 100 pounds of this. I'm trying to help you out. And they leave. And that's it. They kind of go separate ways. And we kind of stay with Superman. And Superman flies home, lands in his apartment. You know, and you know, gets undressed and puts his super clothes down, and he's kind of looking. And he looks
his super clothes.
Yeah, and he looks on his cape, and on his cape, he sees a little, like a tracker.
Yeah, yeah.
And he holds up the tracker, and it's a bat tracker. And he goes, huh? And then he kind of goes to glance.
Yeah, I remember
the window.
This now.
Yeah,
familiar.
He goes to glance out the window, and he looks. Jeez. And then right, and then he kind of looks, and then Superman does his telescopic vision, and way in the distance, buildings, many, many buildings away, is this Batman looking at Superman through binoculars. And when Superman sees Batman, Batman lowers his binoculars and then salutes him, turns on his heel and runs away. And what was amazing about that, and Superman just kind of, as Clark Kent, kind of crushes the tracker and says, touche. But what was great about it was Superman had cheated by looking in and using mm-hmm. his powers. And Batman
he's the world's greatest detective.
Exactly. And would never get one-upped. And so he figured out who that person was. So now they're on equal ground. That was brilliant.
You don't like in Batman versus Superman when Clark Kent's like, who's that? And the guy has to go, oh, that's Bruce Wayne, the famous billionaire who's like,
wait a minute,
world renowned. It's like somebody like, who's that? Oh, that's Donald Trump.
Who?
Who's exactly. that? I don't know who that is. I'm a you know, world class newspaper reporter, but
you
I don't
mean,
know.
Right. I'm a world class newspaper reporter. Who's Elon Musk? Who's, you know, who's a famous billionaire?
Because we also know, according to this movie, that Gotham City is right across the bay from Metropolis, even though in 75 years of comic books, that was never the case. They're not even close to each other. But
I don't mind that as an idea.
Like, but like, why wouldn't Superman just fight the crime in Gotham? If it's like literally 2 miles away, you know?
He's bored.
They just needed that because they needed Batman to like have his building destroyed by Superman and Zod. But just another example of lazy, right? It's not bad. It's just kind of lazy.
Lazy choices.
Why not just have, again, using Donald Trump, I'm sure there's a Trump building in Chicago and Los Angeles. Why couldn't there just be like a Wayne Corp
in Metropolis?
And, you know, that got destroyed. They needed Bruce Wayne to like drive over in his product placement.
Apparently, whatever in his Jeep helicopter that was or whatever. Product placement. Yeah, totally.
Or he could have just been visiting that day or something. Yep. Or, yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's what he was doing again in that animated thing, but they didn't do it. I mean,
yeah, he comes to visit Metropolis. Like, right. It's like going to Chicago from New York. Right. You can go visit.
I think that there's a lot of
boo.
I think there's a lot of fun things in fun ideas in Batman versus Superman, but there's also a lot going on that it's like they almost get there, and then they just, not only do they kind of like miss the mark, but then they go horribly.
So many people worked on it, like nobody checked. Anybody else?
Well, because there's this great... So the
director didn't check, the producer, the writer, and step in and be like, you know what, maybe we should...
check, but they all agreed on ideas that weren't strong. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like the moment where... Okay, so there, again, there's a lot of problems with this movie. I think probably, you know, I said one of the big ones is... Batman is more like the Punisher in a Batman suit. Superman is a guy with Superman's powers that doesn't want to be Superman. I think another one was them letting us know that Gal Gadot was Wonder Woman before we saw the movie. And I mean, even before the trailers came out. And I have a whole thing about the trailers, which that's another whole podcast, I promise you. But don't make fun of me.
I love trailers. I know other people who don't like to watch trailers.
Well, no. But I'm starting to... I'm watching them again just because. But this one in particular was one of the ones that just ended it for me, for at least for a period. But not only did it spoil, not only did it undermine, but it showed us Wonder Woman. Now, when that happens, you're just waiting. And probably the worst part about that is when we see Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent square off and kind of talk to each other and all that other stuff, okay, that's great. And there's this great, I think one of the bits of dialogue where Bruce Wayne kind of says, maybe it's the Gotham in me, but we all, you know, we don't like clowns, freaks dressed up as clowns.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of saying, He's kind of making a nod to not liking the Joker, and that's cool, but he's also kind of putting down Superman. Now, in that sequence, in that moment, if Bruce Wayne doesn't know that Clark Kent is Superman, which he doesn't, then that doesn't land. That's just that's very careless. He should know. That Clark
he's
Kent
the world's greatest detective.
He should already know.
I've said that many times.
Because then when I thought it was very clever that Superman was hearing the ear mic and was like surprised. But that should have been Clark Kent. Oh, snap. Bruce Wayne is Batman. Where Bruce Wayne should have just been like, I already know you're Superman.
That
would have been great.
Especially since in the movie, like his whole reason for coming out of retirement and everything kind of is...
To stop
him. Hates Superman and you know, he thinks he's getting too powerful. So, he should have a whole wall full of like pictures of Superman.
Or just him figuring it out. Yeah. It shouldn't be easy to figure out, but he's Batman, so he should have figured it out. And so when he says to him, he stops. When in the movie, when Clark Kent stops him and says, Mr. Wayne, when he turns to look at him, he turns and like he kind of stops to look, but then he goes... Ah, like he kind of, there's recognition and he squares off at him and you realize it's like Batman knows who this guy is, but this guy doesn't know who he's dealing with. Well, when it turns out that he doesn't really know, that sucks. But what's worse is we know Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman. And what I think would have been great is their exchange and the way that Gal Gadot, the way they're setting it up, she almost seems like she's Catwoman. And Catwoman is a Batman character. And so that would have been very exciting, because if we're thinking she's Catwoman, she could kind of does this little sly thing, because he plugs in something in a,
she's like a thief,
in a camera, and then she steals it. It's like, oh, wow. And again, she shows up at this scene right here where she shows up at the party, and they're looking at the sword, and Batman and Bruce Wayne shows up in a tux and kind of grabs her and says, you know, this isn't, you know, that isn't the real sword. And she goes, I know, it's the, this, it's kind of like a clue, but it seems like he's preventing her from stealing that thing. If you remove that we already know that she's Wonder Woman, it's kind of like a nice bait and switch. And it's kind of like, oh, maybe she's going to be Catwoman. And maybe, and so it's very clever. And so then if you reveal, holy snap, this is Wonder Woman, it's a solid reveal. And it's like, ah, you thought we were going to get this, but boom, you get that. But they undermine that completely. We know she's Wonder Woman the whole time, so now we're just waiting for him to figure it out.
That's the least of the movie's problems.
Oh, yeah, it is, but you know what I'm saying, right? I mean,
just another choice they didn't make.
It's another choice, another bad choice. And it's a lot of problems. Dude, I just ranted about that. That's all you got to say?
You like to rant. I'm resting my voice for 45 minutes straight,
yeah,
while you rant.
Thanks.
So did you like Batman vs. Superman or not? How do you really feel?
I don't know.
It's just bad. It's just bad pretty much from beginning to end. It's rare to have a movie like...
It's rare to have a movie like that from beginning to end. And yes, I'm sorry, anybody.
And I think I
listening.
Said before, I mean, I know it's not easy to make
but,
a good
well, but
movie. It's almost
that,
hard.
It's the promise.
Yeah, it's almost harder to mess it up than it is to do it at least like halfway decent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At least have it be like half. Because some movies aren't that good, but you could find stuff in them and like... At least the characters were true to themselves.
Sure.
At least the action was good. But here it's like the action's like dark and rainy. It's all digital looking. Or the characters don't behave the way they're supposed to behave. Like everything is off.
Well, yeah. You know, it's funny because they're...
Because you're not going to... I mean...
In the behind the scenes, they're saying like, man, there's all this great source material. And you think to yourself, yeah, and you could have taken things that worked and made it work. Or if you were struggling...
It always makes me annoyed too. Especially with comic book movies, like a comic book is basically like a screenplay with storyboards.
Sure.
Just like make the comic book on the screen. Like if you wanted to make the Dark Dark Knight Returns.
He tried.
I guess they took some of the images, but like...
Right. They took the moments, but not the scenes.
Yeah. Just put it right at like some of the things why I liked, you know, the Spider-Man, like the Tobey Maguire one. There's like Uncle Ben gets killed by a burglar and yep. He chases the burglar down to the warehouse and he captures him and it's the guy that he let go
yeah,
earlier.
That's
it's like
tragedy.
Exactly like, and I'm saying like it's exactly also how his parents get killed. The Waynes get shot. Even the pearls like falling on the ground and stuff. Some of the things they take, you know, frame for frame. But
I'm bummed out by this because.
There might not be.
There's a
I don't
lot
know if
of
there'll
money.
Be another Batman vs. Superman movie. Now there's so many reboots and everything. It's like, I don't know if they'll make another Fantastic Four movie, but they did it three times. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but
this, obviously
but
they're not going to make another like huge budget.
Not like
this was their shot.
This was their shot and they blew it. And
you
and
blew it. You had your chance and you blew it.
What movie?
You asking me?
I know. What movie?
Copland.
Oh, that's good.
That was just on the other day.
Was it?
There's also a scene
in Copland.
Billy Madison where he's like, "You blew it." That's another scene. But that's when Robert De Niro has got like a big like wedge in his hand. He's eating lunch. He's talking to Sylvester Stallone. He's like, "You had your chance and you blew it."
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
I picture him with that wedge. I don't know if it actually is, but he's got like a half-eaten wedge in his hand.
I'm just, you know, I guess I can rant about Batman versus Superman. This is part of why I wanted to even start a podcast. And we did a lot of talk about about Star Wars, but I was almost like waiting to bite into this because, again, I think we could keep going, and I kind of want to, and we'll do it again or whatever, but there's just so much, and I think it was because of the promise and just how it fell flat, and even how there's juicy bits, but they don't take it anywhere, and it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing, and the thing that kills me also is I really like Henry Cavill as Clark Superman. I think it's good casting, but I think it was poorly executed.
Poor guys, yeah, he's not given anything to work with.
They're just making him mope around. I think Ben Affleck is great casting as Batman. I really like Ben Affleck, and I think he's great casting as Batman. Gal Gadot. I actually thought, you know, as Wonder Woman, I don't know, sure, whatever. But they announced it. They showed her in the suit, whatever. And then they showed other stuff. And then the movie comes out, fine, whatever. When she shows up, she's great. She's mysterious. She's great. All this other stuff. And so I think that they undermined, like I just said, they undermined what they could have done by not revealing what character she was. Because they should have never called it Dawn of Justice. They should have said Batman v Superman. They should have shown that, you know, obviously they're going to say that she was listed on the cast. But we could have been like, oh, and speculation gone crazy. No. And then when she shows up like this, the fans would have thought, okay, wow, she's Catwoman. Never show her in the trailer. So when she shows up as Wonder Woman, it's badass. It would have been an amazing moment. But now all of that is undermined. All of that is lost. All of it's done and dead. And it's like such a drag because it could have been so much fun.
It's like when your parents, you know, you got in trouble as a kid and your parents are like, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. And that was worse than them being angry.
Right, because it's like, it hurts. It hurts.
Like
so
the movie's
bad.
There. Like, I'm glad I got a Batman versus Superman movie. I never would have thought of that when I was a kid that I would get like this big budget superhero movie. Yeah. But now it's just kind of like, you messed it up.
It's a dud. It's
and
dud.
Now I can't like, get like I wanted to buy it. The DVD and go home and watch it over and over again. And stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I was telling Dave that I didn't even get the DVD because I knew there'd be behind the scenes stuff, but it would just be like Jesse Eisenberg talking about how he, you know, tackled his character of Lex Luthor. Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that interview, but like, I don't know if there's like a director's commentary talking
there
about.
There isn't.
I'm sure if there was, they'd be talking about how cool it was and how much work they put into it, which they did, but.
But to no avail.
Yeah.
It's a drag because it's just, it could have been.
Well,
go ahead.
Don't people, in the comic books, I thought everybody liked Superman. Like in the movies here, it's like people like want to like lynch him and they want to like, he's an alien. And maybe they're trying to draw a parallel to the world today about like illegal aliens, but they're like picketing him, like get off our planet and stuff. Like, and I guess that's the way they set it up in the first movie because they destroyed like, you know, killed a couple million people in Metropolis and by knocking down buildings, which I had a problem with.
Yep.
But it's like, once you start to go down that path, now if they make, say, another Superman movie, a standalone Man of Steel 2 or something. True. Do we have to deal with how people still hate? Because there's nothing. I guess in this movie, he saves the world at the end from Doomsday. So maybe people's image of him has changed. But it's like, that's another reason Superman's so depressed, because he's probably like, everybody hates me. Like, I came, I saved the planet.
I saved
everybody
Earth.
Hates me. Yeah,
Earth.
I saved Earth.
Like,
and everybody hates
like
me.
Like Earth.
Get off our planet, are you crazy? Like, the government wants to lock him up, and people want to like. And it's weird. Some people built a big statue of him. But other people want to, like, you know, tear it down.
And other people call him a false god. And he's not God.
He's not God.
That, I mean, that's a whole other podcast. But yes, and so they just, the movie fails.
You know, it's a whole other podcast. This is totally a segue coming out of left field.
Go.
I'm looking around Dave's apartment.
Uh-oh.
And I see an old empty VHS box of Hooper, starring Burt Reynolds. It's empty. I don't know where the VHS is. That's a great movie. It could be directed by Hal Needham, the director of Smokey and the Bandit.
I
gotta
tell you,
else.
Hooper, great movie. You know who else likes
the
that
greatest
movie?
Stuntman, Jan Michael Vincent's,
you know,
in here, right?
Yeah, Jan Michael Vincent.
That stunt is still amazing today. If you could check it out on YouTube, where the smokestack falls and the car narrowly misses it.
Yep.
That's real, folks. That's not
real.
Digital.
That's not digital.
It misses it by like 3 inches, literally. It almost hits the, like the dust hits the rear bumper of the car as it goes under.
Hooper's a great movie. And what's even better was I feel totally validated because, you know, the director of, you know, Rian Johnson, the director who is now directing episode 8
yes.
of Star Wars. He directed Looper.
Looper, not
but
Hooper.
He also, not Hooper. Looper, but he directed a whole bunch of other movies. Well, on his Instagram once, a couple just not too long ago, he held up that... and that picture of that VHS and was like, this is a great movie. And he was like, he was so excited that at the find. Well, it's very fun because, of course, I have Hooper. And so great. So much fun. So maybe we'll have a podcast about Hooper.
I would rather pop in Hooper right now than watch even 5 minutes of Batman versus Superman. That's how five bad Batman minutes. Versus Superman is.
And then how great Hooper is. Well, so on that note, we gotta end it upbeat because I can tell yes. you, it was really starting to bum me out, and I'm glad that you brought us you took you got us out of it. So I appreciate it, Vic. So thank you, everybody, all four of you out there who are listening. That and when I say
and you're
four,
all relatives and, you know, and when friends
I say,
of ours,
right? And when I say four, I mean that's me, Vic, listening, and then you know maybe two other people, hopefully
the cat and dog. Over that, there that are
count?
Listening.
Do they count?
And Mike sitting on the couch.
No, we have no Mike on the couch. But the cat just left the room. So I don't know. If
he
the
walked
cat,
out.
Yeah, the cat. So maybe the cat doesn't count anymore. But anyway.
He's like, I only got 9 lives. I haven't got time to listen to this bullcrap podcast.
So anyway, thank you very much, everybody. And
see you soon.
See you soon.